100%.
Well, now that we've established that, you're listening to Dumpster Diving with
Janice, the jerk.
Yeah, the jerk. You know, I did see a couple of things on Instagram for yesterday as I'm scrolling through, and it was like these little reels that was like, the person with this initial owes you ice cream, and it kept doing J. I was going to send you every single one of those. Like, you owe
me. Thank you for not doing that. And by the way, your name starts with J, so maybe you owe yourself that shit. Okay.
I don't have the budget for this shit, so you're going to buy it for me.
Right. Oh, great. Great,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah, welcome. Market with
the J. It sucks to be the older sister. Hey, we have people listening. Hi, everybody. Hey, thanks for being here. We appreciate it. So we're just kind of catching up as we're getting into our conversation today. And, you know, I'm finally coming off of my cold and well enough to feel like I can actually have a conversation with you, because the fact is I have to be sharp when I'm having conversations with you, because otherwise I get all spun up in your BS. So I'm back. I'm healthy. I'm good. It's been a crazy week of travel on my end. So that's a little bit of a blur. But how about you? I hear through the grapevine that you failed a really important test this week. And by the way, as your big sister, I'm embarrassed for all of us. You've embarrassed the family. So thank you for that. But I'm sure our listeners would love to hear about it. So what happened? What happened with you?
Oh, well, you know, as you said earlier, I didn't study for the test. You know, but actually, yeah. I was just following in line with Genevieve, you know, because she started it.
So she failed first.
She failed first. And it was just, I was really embarrassed. And then I was like, I got this in the bag. And then I failed as well. So
being the second failure, by the way, really even more sad than being the first failure. I just feel like if you're going to fail, be first.
Yeah.
So thanks, Jenny.
I didn't have the opportunity. She beat me to it. So
all right, what happened?
Well, she is in elementary school. Junior high school.
And she's in middle school. How dare you?
I just corrected myself. Jesus.
Wow.
It's all the same building. So to me, it doesn't make a difference.
That's actually fair.
Yeah. Okay. Let's be real. Okay. So I get a letter from my daughter, or no, I'm sorry. This was mailed to the house. I got a letter mailed to the house that Genevieve failed a test. And I was like, whoa, because this is like gold honor roll child, you know, like she's on the gold honor roll.
Ooh.
She failed her vision test with her glasses on. So I'm guessing that in the 2 years she's had these glasses, her eyesight has severely failed her. To the point where she's so I was like, okay.
I love, by the way, that our school systems are spending money on stamps
right
to undo that letter in the mail old
instead
school.
Of giving it to my child to deliver to me,
or perhaps sending you an email.
Oh, well, I mean, that would have been cool too, but there was a form I had to have the doctor fill out in return.
Okay.
That I was doing my parently duties.
Wow Okay, so
the problem with vision here in California. An epidemic.
Wow.
Anyways, okay, so I make an appointment for her and myself and Chase. Everybody's getting glasses, everybody's getting their eyes checked, whatever. And I have noticed that my eyes have been definitely changing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we get in there, do all the things, get in there, he tests my right eye. It's, you know, changed a little bit, whatever. He goes to the left eye and he's like, all right, and this is the super obvious one, right? For big block letters. And he was like, all right, read the smallest line you can. And I said, well, put the letters up and I'll be able to read it. And he's like, he's like, tell me what they are. And I'm like, I see a blank screen. And he whips around and he looks at the wall. He looks at me with this big thing on my face. And he was like, all right, stop joking around. And I was like, I'm serious. There is nothing but a blank. And he was like, hold on. So he like moves a bunch of stuff, blah, blah, blah. All right. How about now? There is just a blank square. And he was like scared. And he goes, are you diabetic? And I'm like, oh my God, no.
What? Oh my God.
And he's like, this isn't good. He was like, this isn't good. And he goes, have you noticed like where you can't see? And I was like, actually, yes. Like parts of the screen will, like, I won't see the letters anymore and stuff like that. And he was like,
holy crap,
this is a problem. So he fixes it with, you know, turns the dial like times. Yeah. Adjust it.
Turns the dial to I'm 100 years old.
Right. In this die. That's it. Like, and he's like, there's a dramatic change in that eye. He's like, okay, so this is now you need to come in for a medical appointment. He was your regular insurance. You need to get dilated. You need to do all these things. He goes, because I'm seriously worried about that eye. He goes, there shouldn't be that big of a change. And I was like,
yeah,
well, fuck, you know?
Yeah.
One, this explains a lot, you know, headaches, everything, you know, and then two, damn it. You know, like, okay, great. All right. Well, let's go. Let's go get old.
Okay. Our listeners want to know most, okay?
Yeah.
Is will you or will you not have to wear an eye patch for the rest of your life?
I will not at this point in time, as far as
I want to start calling you matey. And so I'm going to need to practice.
Wench would be more appropriate, you know?
Wench is too obvious.
Wench is way too obvious. You're right.
In all seriousness, I hope it's okay. And, you know, honestly, though, here's the thing. This could be the first of many. It's not the first. We've talked about the others, but hereditary things we have in common, because I think it was my right eye that I had a cataract in that they've been tracking for years that led to me having, you know, LASIK and cataract surgery and all the things last fall. And every eye doctor I saw kept saying, what happened to you? Like, did you get injured? Like, nobody your age has a cataract. Like, it doesn't make any sense to us. And I was like, well, no. I mean, I've never, not that I can remember, right?
I stare in the sun or anything like that, you know? Like,
exactly. So my point is that, like, if it's cataract, then maybe it's because of our father.
Perfect person to blame. He's not here to defend himself.
Exactly. I always like blaming the people who can't defend themselves. So, all right, well, keep us posted. On your eye,
Okay. Well, when I show up with an eye patch, I mean, my follow-up's not until mid-April, so, and I'll have new glasses by then and stuff, and I'll be able to see on the regular, but he definitely wants to find out what the hell's going on with my
eye. Yeah, you gotta figure out what's behind that. That's crazy. Crazy,
yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so today, guys, we are, you know, today we're actually going to talk about this idea of giving and receiving. Like you just saw us model, giving each other shit and then receiving it, right? Like, it's a giving and receiving kind of thing. And so the reason it came up because Jane and I were talking about, I just had a wellness check with my wellness clients that I serve. And one of the women is like, she's been just like kicking butt and taking names for like 3 months straight, has been with me for a couple of years, but finally kind of found her rhythm and her cadence and all the things into everything. Like, life is just really great in her space right now, but she was having some reflections. And one of the things she was talking about is how long she avoided, like me and our check-ins and getting support from our group, et cetera, because she wasn't doing well, right, on the wellness front, and how the worse she did, the more internal she turned, right? So she was, and she said something that just made me go, oh my God, that's so profound. And it was like, it's crazy how easy it is to turn into ourselves when we're going through times of, you know, stress or just duress or whatever, and fold ourselves into that negativity versus opening ourselves up to support and encouragement. And so as I was sharing that with you, Jane, you had this big like epiphany about the coaching piece you do with folks around this idea of giving and receiving. So we're like, oh my gosh, this is what we want to talk about, because we want to really get into it a little bit, because we know, especially again, anybody who's listening, this is going to be true of, but it's heightened for women in general, but very much this idea about like, we do tend to do exactly that, right? During times of stress and duress, et cetera. Even today, when there's such a culture of women supporting women and women lifting each other up, we tend to be the first to, when something goes wrong, turn inwards and not want to stress out the people around us by sharing it, and God forbid, getting some support. So I want to kind of tee us up with that and then just turn to you, because I'm super curious about some of the coaching you've done around this and kind of where you see as the starting point for a conversation.
Yeah. No. I did. I was just like, oh, wait, you know, I got stuff on this, because it's something that I really coach on all the time. And it comes up in different ways. And I was, as you were kind of, you know, delivering that intro, I was thinking about a way that it actually gets in the way of like personal relationships too. I have a friend that I was actually having a conversation with about behaviors or or our personal, what we feel is boundaries, but we label it our personal boundaries for ourselves, but it's really a level of protection. And we label it different ways, but the whole giving and receiving aspect is, there's a science to it. And I had to learn this, because I was a poster child for not being able to, you know, receive. It's really hard for people. Yeah. And this actually really changed the way that my mindset was at the time. You know, when you grow up in an environment, or you are, you know, subject to an environment where you're giving all the time and not so much receiving, it's almost like that's how it should be, right? Yeah. I'm the one that's of sound mind. I'm the one that's, that can get it done. I'm the one that's dedicated enough. So I'm just going to give to the people that are incapable of doing those things, so I can try to help them. Right. Yeah. But in all actuality, is it really helping them? Sometimes, if they're willing to receive it. Yep. It's a lot of times they're not willing to receive it. So it just falls on deaf ears. And then we get upset because they're not listening. And I gave them the answers and, you know, all these things. But we have to think about it like they're in the same boat that we are.
That's right.
They're in the same freaking boat. So how do they know how to receive that? Because 9 times out of 10, they don't know how to receive. So now we have this vicious cycle going on of like, I'm always trying to help them. They don't do it, blah, blah, blah. And then that person's trying to help me. And I'm like, you know, they don't know how to take the help. And so it's this vicious cycle. And we turn inward because we think everybody's against us, or they just don't get it. You know, when in all actuality, we're doing the same thing to each other over and over and over again. So, and how this all started in my brain and how I started talking about it was I was working as a coach. I was, I had a friend, you know, a colleague, Kirk. We were like two peas in a pod. He would start singing the song and I would end the verse. Like, we were the annoying people in the office, right? Like, we were silly. We always had fun together. Nothing was ever super crazy, you know, and we needed that from each other. And one day he was like, wow, Jane, you look really great today. You know, that's a cool outfit, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, oh, this old thing, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, it's cool. You know, all right.
Yeah.
Didn't say thank you. Didn't, none of that. And he was like, are you serious right now? I'm like, what? And he was like, you can't take a compliment to save your freaking life. And I'm like, what do you mean? You know? And he's like, seriously. He goes, you can't take a compliment to save your life. He goes, I compliment you every freaking day. And all you do is always tell me what the worst part of it is, or you play it down. And he was like, I'm trying to give you a compliment. And he was like, and you just, you're like blocking it.
Right.
And I was like, wow. I go, I never really thought about it that way. He's like, yeah. He goes, how do you think it makes me feel? He goes, you're just swatting down my compliments every day, you know? Aww, and so, and I was like, oh my gosh, I never even really thought about that either.
Yeah.
And just that week, my boss had read this new book, you know, to him at that time. And he's like, I want everybody to read it. And it was right on time.
Oh my gosh.
And this book is called The Go-Giver. And it's written by Bob Berg and John David Mann. And it's like a self-help business book, you know, it's professional development, but it applied to life so much that I fell in love with the book. And I'm not a big reader. We've talked about this. It has to be intriguing and capture my ADD brain. And I read the thing very quickly. It's only 160 pages, but there was this special thing in there called the 5 laws of stratospheric success. And we'll talk about that. But really the book it's a sales book. It's teaching you how to be like a good salesperson, but really it's about the laws of receptivity. You can give and give and give, but you have to be able to receive at the same time. But this is this cycle that we're all in, is like, right, we're the givers, we're the servers. Oh, you don't need to give me that. I'll give you the shirt off my back and not ask for any protection or a blanket or anything else, you know? And so this book really just, the way it was laid out, it's a business story. It's about a sales guy and he goes through this journey and he meets this this mentor, and he's like teaching him all these lessons. But there's the five laws of stratospheric success, which we can cover. But it's a really good book, and it really helped me realize the effect, the ripple effect, yeah, that not accepting compliments or receiving, yeah, does to the other person, you know, that is doing the giving. It blocks their channel of receptivity if they get that negative, yeah, response back, you know? And so that's kind of the premise of the whole book and how to work through it.
You know, it's so interesting, right? Because I think that, first off, now I want to go grab it, not just, I mean, for this conversation, but also for, you know, fundamentally what I do in my day job is build relationships with other organizations and, you know, enter into partnerships. And so I'm super curious about the implications on both of those fronts. But as I listening to you talk, and as I was listening to this wellness client talk earlier, the thing that kind of struck me was, you know, again, we tend to do this as women. I love this idea that, like, we can't excel at giving if we're not also going to be open to receiving. I love the idea that, like, you know, so you can only do so much without doing the other. And it really feeds into the school of thought that I have around, like, this idea of wellness, right? Because oftentimes when I'm talking with women about wellness, it's really about, listen, I know your instinct is to take care of all the things and all the people. And imagine how much more you could do that, how much better you could be at that if you were taking care of yourself, right? That if you had clarity of mind, if you had energy, if you had strength, et cetera. And when you run yourself ragged, so to speak, taking care of everybody else, then you are likely to at some point just collapse. And then what are all those people going to do? And again, that it's not to like fuel the idea that you should be taking care of everybody else, but rather meet you in your space. If that's a space you're in, I'm not going to try and talk you out of it. I'm going to say, how can you be better at it? Right. And that gets to the core of taking care of yourself. But it made me think about, like, okay, why is that? Right. Like, what is it about us? How are we wired in that way? And so when I went and did some digging, one of the things that I looked at was this idea of vulnerability, right?
I think I was going to say that, right? Yes. That's
as
like
women, we have a hard time with that. We have a hard time opening ourselves up because it does make us more vulnerable. And frankly, as the female species, gender in this species, by pure evolutionary standards, right? I'm going to use this word. Everybody scream at me. That way we get some comments on our post.
Yeah, please.
We are physically weaker, right? Not universally, not every woman is physically weaker than a man, et cetera. But fundamentally in our design, women typically have to work hard to actually be stronger than men, right? We actually have to build that in ourselves. It's not natural. And so I was curious about, like, okay, So it makes sense then that if that's the case from an evolutionary standpoint, then the idea of being vulnerable would be even more challenging because we're already vulnerable on some level, right? Just because of evolution. So I went back and I was doing some digging. And one of the things that I found that I thought was really interesting about this idea of vulnerability is how much our childhood experiences impact our capacity to be vulnerable. And so, shocker of all shockers, if you have a childhood where there's lots of trust and a sense of safety, it makes it easier to be vulnerable later, right? Because you trust that people are going to be not take advantage of you if you're vulnerable. Likewise, if you have insecure attachments, if there is no, if there's a lack of trust, if your safety is at risk on a regular, then it's going to make it tougher, right? Obviously, you're going to close in on yourself more. So I just, because of our larger conversation that we tend to have, I just thought, oh my God, one more thing, right? That goes back to those childhood experiences.
Well, not only that, but it goes back to primal instinct. If you really think about it, let's boil it down. We're animals, right? Yeah. And before we can communicate and tell each other what's wrong and get the help that we need and everything else, let's go to National Geographic, right? Okay. There's a herd of wildebeest. There's a injured wildebeest. What do? They leave that wildebeest because they don't want the rest of the crowd to get attracted by the lions or whoever, right? And so that wildebeest will go wander alone knowing that it's going to get attacked, you know, because it's protecting the rest of the herd. We as humans, vulnerability is weakness, right? Yeah. We don't want to show that. And so we take it away. Oh, no, I'm good. I do this because I just love to and blah, 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 or whatever we say.
Yeah.
But most people that give like that need in return. Yeah. They need that thank you is their repayment, that whatever it is, whatever it is in their head. And if they show that weakness that they need something from the other person, that's vulnerability, it's uncomfortableness, they're going to see me as weak, they're not going to see me as this prideful, proud person that knows, got their shit together and everything else. And they're not going to leave me behind if I need something from them. I am in that inner circle where I don't need anything. And that's where I think ego and everything else goes, and like, no, I'm in the inner circle. I'm not down on that outer circle. This is just like a subconscious, level of pecking order that we go into. Okay. Right. And it's just very primal, when it comes down to it. And we don't realize that, we don't stop and think about how primal our actions are and why they are. We're the only species that understand psychology and that are smart enough or can be intelligent enough to figure this out, to help each other out. And this, that's why we do this podcast.
Exactly. Exactly. We finally revealed. That's why. Now everybody knows. 36, 37 episodes into it. Well, and I think that's tied to this idea of vulnerability, and you kind of touched on this a little bit, so I'll call it out in kind of more overtly. And that is that, kind of tied to all of that is also this fear of rejection, right? Fear of like, when we say we're struggling, then we're,
something's wrong.
That people reject us. We're worried that we'll be seen as weak. We're worried
we're
that
inadequate,
that have come to rely on us will question us and will question whether or not they should, bring us into their kind of sphere of support, et cetera, et cetera. And we've said it a million times, but we can't overstate it. We do also just have this internal negative voice, right? There, right? And it is the kind of natural state of things. At least it feels like it's the natural state of things. And so to overshadow it or to shut it down, we have to be really intentional, right? Because we get those, those messages from all around us. And so we have to be really intentional. And women are really quick to blame themselves for problems. Rather than looking at external factors that could be contributing to why they are experiencing failure or experiencing, some kind of negative emotional reaction that makes them unable, right, to do all the things that they want to do.
Right. Well, it's that aspect of I come second. I come second because my kids come first. And most great parents, male or female, have that thought, everything's for them. They didn't ask to be here. We're doing this, right? I mean, I had that mentality for a long time. I was just going to do whatever I needed to do because my kids didn't ask for this crap that we're going through, right? Yeah. But at the same time, there's that level of pride where I am a single mom and I can do it by myself and all those things. I struggle, but it is what it is, right? Yeah. I don't need anything. I've got everything that I need here. I have a roof over my head, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, things are falling apart, but it's somewhat together, and we're just so programmed to survive in different ways. And again, that deep seated childhood stuff, in the aspect of needing to survive, we're just going to do what we need to do. Yep. And because I have a roof over my head, I should be grateful, right? Because we're always reminded of the things that we should be grateful for as well, we should be grateful. Things could be worse, right? But if you're always in that mindset, when are you ever going to get out of it?
That's right.
I
think that's such a good point. I love that idea of if getting stuck in the mindset of things can always be worse. And to your point, they can always be worse. That doesn't mean that you should be ashamed of wanting it to be better.
Right.
And right.
Yeah,
exactly. Like there's a balance of gratitude, being grateful for what you have. Yes. But not letting that kind of be the thing that stops you from saying, but I still aspire to this, whatever this is.
Right. Right. Yeah. And maybe even making comments of I'm always growing. Well, when are you going to stop growing? Never. You know, yeah. Like never, never, never.
Yeah.
So, well, let's get into some of these, the five laws of stratosphere.
Oh, yeah, let's hear.
Success.
Okay.
So let's talk about the first one, the law of value. And it says your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment.
Ah.
Say that again. Your true worth is determined by how much you give in value than you take in payment. I know so many people that lead by this.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, oh, but I gave them all this stuff. Yeah, I only charged them, you know, let's just go to this. So, you know, business coaching, this is a prime example of, you know, oh, well, if my prices are cheap, they'll pick me.
Oh my gosh. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. You can be competitive with your pricing, but are you really charging what you're worth?
That's right. Yep.
Know that your gut can't tell you that stuff. Yeah. You know, you actually have to do the math. And I'm actually working with a client right now, small business owner in LA, only has one client. I was like, let me help you expand your client base.
Yeah.
If you lose that one client, you're done. You know, he's like, I know. I'm like, okay, let me help you. So we've been working on this. And one of the first things we worked on was his pricing. And he was charging like $40 an hour to have two employees come and do cleaning. It's a cleaning service.
Oh my gosh.
I go, how much do you pay them per hour? He goes, $20 a piece. I said, so you're charging exactly what you're paying, but less than because you're not counting taxes.
Exactly.
You're not counting any of that stuff. And are you paying you? And he's like, well, no, I'm not doing the work. I'm like, all right, time out. We went from charging $40 an hour to what he wanted, where the way he wants his business to look, it needs to be like $300 per hour.
Yeah.
He was like, oh my God. Right. I said, so what you're giving is much more in value than what you're receiving. You know, you're giving it away. So, and how is that affecting your business? Oh, it's affecting it in these multitude of ways. Okay. So just by having that conversation, he was like, wait a minute. I go, you're whatever you're giving is valuable and it's worth something. You need to charge appropriately. And that's the bare bones. You could ad lib that into anything, but look at
what. Say it again, because when you said it, I actually had an additional thought. So say it to
okay. So the law of value is your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment.
So the business sense of that makes perfect sense, what you just described. But the other thought that I had in terms of what we're talking about, too, is this idea that, you know, oftentimes we judge our value by how much money we have in the bank, how many things that we have in our life, all right. This stuff, versus what that's suggesting is, no, it's how you show up to the world is your determination of value, not the monetary piece of it. So you can, right. There's so many different ways to look at it, right?
Right, right.
All right, I love it. What's the second one?
Law of compensation. So again, we're going back to that. So your income is determined by how many people you serve and how well you serve them.
Okay.
So whatever that compensation is, right? Yeah. But if your income is determined by how many people you serve and how well you serve them, what are you doing to make that? How do you differentiate from your competition? How are you differentiating from the people around you? Right. How many people are you serving and in what way, you know, and are you just talking to people or are you actually changing their trajectory of how they're thinking and, you know, and how you're giving, I'm just going to take it all back to biblical times. You know, you teach a man, you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, you teach him how to fish, you feed him for life, right? So what is it that you're doing, right?
So, and then the non kind of business side of that makes me, what I'm thinking about is like one of the struggles that I personally have is, and you and I, this is true for both of us, right? We tend to be that woman in our world that other people, men and women, but again, lots of women especially, turn to for support, emotional support, help in times of stress, aid, you know, et cetera. And there are times where I think to myself, like, I haven't talked with so-and-so in so long. I wonder if she's okay. But my bandwidth, right? Like my ability to actually like, check it. And this is just personal stuff, not business oriented, like just personal stuff. And what you're making me think about is like, okay, you really can't be everything to everyone.
Right.
And so if you you know, if you spread yourself so thin that really all you're doing is, you know, hey, how are you? And, you know, saying a few words of platitude and that's the best you've got, because I don't like it. This isn't a question to be answered right now, but it makes me wonder, like on one hand, I can't possibly like not pick up the phone or not respond to a text or not whatever. But on the other hand, yeah, like when you're that person constantly in people's worlds, and by the way, I am deeply grateful for that role. And I appreciate the fact that I have a skill set and a persona that draws people in that way. But at some point it's like, am I even helping people if it's so superficial because I can't possibly commit the time, right, to help people in a more deep way anyway?
Well, that's a whole nother, you know, side of the perspective of it. And you're 100% correct. Like, is the attention that I'm giving this person, the value that I'm giving them, is it at full value, or am I just like emotions? Because I'm going to be honest, there's days I'm just going through the motions.
Yeah. You know? I think that's true for all of us.
Yeah. I'm just going through the motions. Sorry that I'm glazing over and I'm probably thinking about something else. But those are the times where you need to really think, this is my boundary. Like, I can tell I'm drifting. I'm not giving them the 100% that I normally would. This is going to be a change in my character. And, you know, so you got to think about those things. And that's when you go and you say, I really want to be there for you, but this particular time in my life, like this very moment, is I'm not here. So can we sit down in a couple of days? Let me like get through this, or just be honest, like shit.
And
just
that's hard, right? Oh my God, that's hard.
That's vulnerable.
When somebody needs you, it is really hard to not be honest, or to be honest rather, and say, I can't, like, I don't have it. I just don't have it right now. Yeah. Right. So and it's funny because here's a really quick, example, but this is an example of when I was honest, right? Like, this past week I was traveling. So I was in the DC, Virginia area from Friday a week ago until, when did I fly home? I flew home Tuesday night, only to turn back around and be at the airport at 7 a.m. on Wednesday to go to Nevada and be there for the rest of the week. And so Joe picked me up Tuesday night from the airport, God bless him. And he like immediately started like telling me about all the stuff he has going on at work. And he's going. And he was so sweet because he finally like, and I am, you know, more than anything, I was sick. Like, I was in the middle of this cold and it was just kicking my ass. And I was like, it's all I can do to like be awake right now. And at one point he finally like looked over at me in the car and he kind of puts his hand on my leg and he was like, okay, babe, how are you? Right. Like,
he got it.
Like, how are you? And I was like, he's like, you were just in like some crazy meetings and I know it was tense and intense and, you know, all the things, like, how did it all go? Blah, blah. And I was like, oh my God, thank you for asking. And because you asked, I can tell you, I can't even talk about it right now. Like, I don't have it in me.
Right.
To talk about it. So ask me again in like 2 days. And so when I got back from Nevada and was starting to come out of this cold a little bit, that's when I could be like, oh, and then yes, when I was in DC on Monday, blah, 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 blah. But in that moment, right, he created a space for me to be able to say, I literally can't even talk about it right now.
But that's perfect. And he took your social cue.
He did.
Hey, shit. He just sat there. He was like, oh, hold on.
Okay. Hold on a second. But honestly, in that case, and then let's go on to number three. We both kind of got what we needed because he just needed to say stuff out loud because I had been gone for 5 days. He didn't even need me to like respond or probe. And then likewise, he could be okay with me like being like, okay, I can't. And he was good. Like, all right. Yeah.
Well, he exerted the energy that had been pent up for a couple of days without you around, you know.
Exactly.
I love Joe and his stories and stuff like that. He was ready. He was ready.
He had it, man.
All right. So number three, the law of influence.
Okay.
So your influence is determined by how abundantly you place other people's interests first.
Interesting. Okay.
So your influence is determined by how abundantly you place other people's interests first.
Okay. Now that's interesting because I want to hear you talk about it, obviously, from the business perspective, but from a social perspective, think about the way we use the word influencer now.
Right.
Right. When you look at influencers, even though in most cases they're trying to sell you something or, you know, get you to think a certain way, i.e. influencer, it is through tapping into what they think you need and then giving you that.
But let's think about that for a moment.
Okay.
Is it really the interest of the influencer or the audience? So the influencer is paying more attention to what the audience wants. How more influential do you think you'll be?
Exactly.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's not you, motherfuckers.
Right.
It's the person that you're working with, right?
Yeah.
And so it's all about their agenda. And this is a total coaching thing, right? We don't have answers. I don't know what's best for you, Janice, but you do. And if I talk about the things that interest you and all those things, then we'll get somewhere that's actually going to you make some movement versus what I feel that you need.
Exactly. So you're kind of like leading. It's like you're leading me to reveal what I know, but I don't realize I know.
Yes. Yes. It's all your idea.
It's manipulation is what it is.
It's getting you to see your own shit. I mean, come on.
Okay, whatever. But anyway, that's cool. That's interesting, right? To think about both sides of that. And so, yeah. All right. We got to ponder that a little bit more. All right. What's number four?
All right. Number four, the law of authenticity. The most valuable gift you have to offer is yourself.
A freaking man.
That's it. Right? You don't have to be a certain way. You don't, people want to know people that are different, that aren't like everybody else. Prime example. I am not your average run of the mill woman. I have whatever fucking hair, teal, you know, tattoos everywhere. I wear funky clothes sometimes, most of the time, you know, stuff like that. And Wednesday night we had, I'm part of a women's networking group. We had one of our monthly meetups and I knew no one except for like two people. Yeah. And those two people, one I know very well. And the other person I saw at the last meetup 2 months ago when the last time I went.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of socially awkward when it comes to stuff like that. When it comes to me not knowing somebody, I'm not the person that's in your face. Like, oh my God, I'm Jane. Nice to meet you. Blah, blah. You know, I'm like, I'm not that person. I'm the observer. You have to remember, I survived my childhood. So I would sit back. I would watch. I observe. I see body language. I hear conversations that I don't want to be a part of, you know, and then conversations that, okay, I could get into that, whatever. But my mode normally, and this goes all the way to the birthday horoscope book that I have. Yeah. My birthday is the birthday of the standout. The person that doesn't want to be in the spotlight, but is automatically drug into it every single time.
Nope.
I sit at a table by myself. There's seven other chairs. Within 2 minutes, they were full. Minutes. I wasn't even making eye contact with anybody.
Right.
And this one lady comes over, Hillary, and I met her at the last party, but she didn't remember meeting me. She introduced herself to me and I was like, I'm Jane. I met you last time. She's like, oh my God, I forgot. She's like, yeah. She goes, I looked over. Because I was like, what brought you over here? You know, and all your little cronies. Like, it was weird. They all migrated over. She's like, you just looked like a rock. Like, I just needed to go talk to you.
And I was like, interesting. Okay.
So I'm the anchor of the situation. Okay. Yeah. She goes, it just felt safe. It just felt like we could go over there and be ourselves. You know, we could be authentic. You're authentic. Let's go. And I had my hair like this, but I wrapped it in a way that I had a big bow. My hair was a bow on top of my head. And she's like, and I saw the fucking bow. And I was like, I have to come over here and talk to you.
Yep.
None of those were things were done intentionally to get attention, but they.
Let's dig into that. When you were making that bow, no, not even little.
Well, it was really fucking cute.
You're like in the mirror going, I fucking dare you not.
No, I don't even need a mirror. That's how I do these bows. And they were like, how did you do that? And I'm like, oh, hold on. And I start taking my hair down. They're like, no, you're going to ruin it. I'm like, watch me. 30 seconds later, I had another bow. They were like, that's amazing.
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
I hear about them, you know?
I love it.
So, but.
Did you hear? Hold on. Let's go back to that. I want our listeners to be very clear that hair wowing is a thing. You heard it here first. It's going to be trademarked. So don't try and steal it. Hair wow. It's a thing. Oh my God. That's a whole different YouTube channel.
Hashtag hair wow.
Hashtag how to hair wow. Anywho, but yes, I love that. But I love that. Like, just you have this aura. Back to your fourth rule of authenticity, right? And I do think that, like, it ties into what we were talking about earlier, because I think that part of the way that we can shift, right, from being these people who are only giving and never receiving is by normalizing, right? Normalizing the idea of being vulnerable, normalizing it and identifying it as a strength versus a weakness, right? Turning the turning the narrative a little bit away. I was on a work call on Friday. And we have these like monthly morning chats and one of my colleagues brings in like somebody who's not from our industry, right, to just introduce us to different thinking. And the woman was talking about this idea of narrative, right, and the power of narrative right now. And so this idea of like how we shift the narrative will be whatever we say it's going to be. But if we're not committed to it and we don't keep reiterating it, then just like a lot of things, right, we fall back into old patterns. And so I love this idea of like using authenticity, right, showing up as your authentic self as a way to shift the narrative and saying, you know, yeah, like you said, like today I can't give you everything, right? Because I don't have it to give. That's where I am from an authentic standpoint. But let's chat again in 3 days or call me again next week or, you know, what, or, and, or call our joint friend so-and-so because she might have it to give right now and I don't. And if you need it right now, then, right? Like, so anyway, reframing it, right? And kind of reframing that narrative, I think could be a really important part. All right. What's number five?
All right. Number five, the law of receptivity. The key to effective giving is to stay open to receiving.
Yeah.
And it's a full circle, right?
Yeah.
And I was having a chat with one of my very good friends and we were talking about like relationships and you know, our current mindsets on relationships, right? And she and I are kind of in the same spot where we're just like, we don't need a relationship.
Yeah.
We don't, you know, and we don't want that other person to have to answer to like, where are you and checking in and blah, blah, blah. But the companionship is what we miss, you know?
Yeah.
And she was like, but that's my superpower. And she was like, and I don't want to give it up because what if I get hurt again and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, I get that. I get that. But at the same time, you're leaving yourself, you're not allowing yourself that vulnerability that you need to learn that not everybody's like that, A, you know, and B, like that, yeah, that's a boundary for yourself. You're not going to cross it. So you're never going to have a relationship or open yourself up to any type of companionship or anything else ever again, because you don't want this one thing to happen. How does that make sense?
Exactly.
How does that make sense? Like you have to have that hope and that aspect of, you know, I need to be vulnerable to figure out where, what's best for me.
Yeah.
You know, if I don't open myself up to that and be authentic in the aspect of, I need to be strong and I need to be all these things, but you have this tough exterior, but you also have to have that gushy part to be able to balance yourself out. Right.
Yeah.
And so we were just talking about that, but that's this also because she's also a big giver. Like she's there for people, support, security, all of those things, but don't give it to me. And I'm like, this, what are you doing?
Yep.
Why?
It's true. It's true. And we do, it's our default, right? And again, a really superficial way of thinking about that is, and I think I've told this story before, like, you know, even when I, you know, we have house guests, right? And we have people over for get togethers or whatever. And it was my cousin several years ago who had come to stay with us for the holidays and was like, hey, you want me to do the dishes? Hey, every time I'd be like, no, you relax. No, I got it, you know? And he finally looked at me and he was like, you understand that when you let people help, you're demonstrating value for them.
Right.
And it's the same idea, right? That when we always are on the giver side and never on the receiver. And by the way, I really value that we're using the word receiving because I think that the word taking, which is a synonym we usually use, has that negative thing built into it, right?
And so,
And so that was really for me a moment for me to go, oh my gosh, I never thought about that because my intention is really pure. My intention is like, I want you to relax. I want you to have fun. I don't want you to worry. And it didn't occur to me for a second that I was, you know, low key, possibly giving off the message of you don't have value. You don't need
that. That's the exact point that my friend made about me not receiving compliments.
You know,
flatten down his value and it makes them feel like you don't value that relationship that you have with them. And back to the relationship aspect is, you know, this person is one of my best friends and one of the people that I can call bawling my eyes out and not and be vulnerable. Right.
Yeah.
And they love that I'm vulnerable with them, but they can't be like, they told me, oh, well, you know, the other day, you know, I was feeling really bad and stuff like that. And you, my mom and my sister, I can't talk to when I'm feeling like that because I get the most vulnerable with you guys.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, but that's what you need to do.
That's right. That's right.
That's
hard. Ooh, because we're scared of it, right? Like we're scared of we're just, it's kind of almost like being scared of the unknown, right? We're scared of like, if I'm that open, what can, and it's not about me not
letting in.
Yeah. Like, I don't even know what I might find if I'm that open, right? Like, I'm scared of what I might find. So,
right. And I think too, is like their last relationship, the person, you know, they were vulnerable, what they feel like their vulnerable level was with that person. And they took great advantage of it, but they weren't receiving anything from that person. Yep. So it's like, it's different. It's like, it's not even the same compare. It's apples and oranges.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. And so, I think that's where
our brain goes is like, we need to
where our brain goes. Yeah. And I think it's why these conversations are so important. Right. And it's my hope that like people who are listening are like connecting on some of the pieces and being able to like see yourselves in it. Right. Mm-hmm. And then kind of take some action as a result of something, right? Not every single thing is going to resonate with you, but something is going to make you see yourself. And I will say, like, I was thinking about like kind of getting to kind of final thoughts here. Right. And one of the strategies, if you will, that I think that we can use to help foster this in each other is celebrating it when we see it, right? So when we see somebody being them out, their authentic selves, like the people who gravitated toward you the other night and being able to say it that way, that's celebrating you showing up your authentic self. And so celebrating in others, but also like being really honest about where our mindset is, because as much as we're sitting here talking about how we really need to build this up, especially in other women, but in other people in general, and we need to foster it and we need to stop thinking about, you know, when we're putting our real selves out there, or showing a weakness that we see it as a weakness or what have you, or that it's a negative thing to have a weakness, right? We all have them,
right.
But there are times like, since I'm always being, trying to be really honest, there are definitely times where I will look at someone and be like, oh my God, suck it the fuck up. Like, you know, because I feel like there are also those people in our world who, it's almost this is just being super authentic, right? It's almost like overboard, the opposite end of the spectrum. Then I find myself wondering, like, are you doing that on purpose for attention? Are you, which is horrible because maybe they are, but maybe they're not, right? Yeah. And so maybe they've actually mastered. Or they've mastered the ability to like put it all out there all the time. And that makes me super uncomfortable because it's like, okay, I can't just be like a wallowing puddle of self-pity either, right? Like, where is the kind of balance where you show up as your authentic self, but aren't wallowing in a puddle of self-pity, right? So, and I don't know the answer to that, by the way. That's why I'm giving it as a final thought so I can be like good luck with that, everybody. But more of just like in all honesty, right?
I'm sorry,
like
that's out there. Good luck.
Right. Sorry, it stops. But that's another space you might see yourself in, right? You might see yourself as that person. So how do you, if that's the space that you're in, how do you start to create some balance where you can see beyond the things that are hard and recognize in yourself the things that you're capable of to help start kind of changing that, shifting that, you know? And I know that's really vague, but it's just, it's coming out as messy as it is in my head. So you're welcome. Right.
Well, I chalk that up to, you know, being in the aspect of self-awareness. Yeah. There's a lot of aspects, you know, we've also talked about, the tool I use, the Energy Leadership Index, you know, like what energy do you resonate in? You know, there's people where, you know, it's the aspect of they're just stuck in that mindset. And so with them expressing where they're at, that's our opportunity as authentic, you know, people that are giving and receiving and all of those things to be honest with them. Wow. Yeah. It really sounds like you're stuck in this mindset, or it really sounds like, you know, is it really that bad?
Right.
You know, how does this affect you? You know, asking those open-ended questions where they actually had to think about their answer and not just say yes or no, to get them to see, or hear themselves say something. Yeah. Because somebody told me that the other day, they were like, just sitting with you and the way that you ask me questions, I'm able to process my thoughts by talking to you.
Yeah.
And you don't ask me questions that you already know the answer to. You really make me think about it. And I go, well, that's my job. That's professional development without sitting you down and going, here, you need this workshop.
Here's the thing to learn.
Exactly. Yeah, here's the thing to learn. Where are you coming from? What did you feel? How did you, you know, how did you come overcome that? What did you learn from it? Where are you, what are you changing now? You know, what came up for you during that time? Thoughts, feelings, actions, you know, because the big disservice that we do to each other is tell each other how we should feel.
That's right. That's so true. Yep. I love that. I think that's a great place to end. The big disservice we do to each other is telling each other how we should feel. I think that's a beautiful place to wrap it up. So, you know, our intention today was really to just kind of delve into this idea. And I love that we were able to do it like with those five rules or five ideas.
Yeah,
and
like, we'll put them on the thing.
About them. Yeah. Thinking about them from a business, but also a very personal perspective. And again, this all started with like, you know, some conversations we've had with other folks in our lives where it's like, it's so hard for us to, it's much easier to close in than it is to open up. And I just feel like, you know, if you take nothing away from this episode, take away the reflection point of where am I on that spectrum? And if I am closed in, what's one little thing that I heard from today that I could use as a beginning to start opening up, right? Knowing that on the other end of opening up is support and encouragement and all the things, right, that we need to be our best selves.
Right. And just knowing that, you know, allowing the people in your life that offer that support, the grace and the room to not be available when they don't feel they're available. Amen. You know, that's not a weakness. And you don't go, oh, they failed me because they weren't there that one time. You know, everybody needs that reset time. And I'm one of those. Like I definitely value, especially now that I'm in like my 40s, like not that I'm old and decrepit by any means. I really enjoy sleep and relaxation at this point in my life. It's weird. I never did before.
What the heck? I know.
I know. Yeah. Exactly. And I'm just like, you know what? Like, I kind of like this because I'm allowing myself the space and time to think and to be in my own thoughts and to connect with nature and do all the things that, you know, the old phrase of like, stop and smell the roses. I believe in that shit. You know, like if you don't stop and just take a look at your surroundings and how is it affecting you and how do you feel and what are all the feelers going on, you know, how do you know what's best for you? How do you know, so it's all about slowing down. And really looking at how you're giving and how you're receiving and what you're receiving.
And and you made me think of one last thing. And that is that, you know, in the drive that I had to make this week in Nevada, there's like, I'm driving to a school district that's like 3.5 hours north of Vegas, right? So fly into Vegas, get in a car, drive. There are literally 100-mile stretches of that drive with nothing, nothing, right? And that includes no signal. And so I spent a lot of time this week with silence, right? Because I could have like played an audio book that I have downloaded on my phone or whatever, but I chose silence. And I got to tell you, there's something really cathartic about that. Yeah. Like I'm not having any stimuli at all, except what I was driving through was desert and mountains and, you know, whatever. So I love the idea of like taking some time to really give yourself a chance in the ways that you just described. In the example I just offered, to do exactly that. So, all right, you guys, a couple of things for you to know. First off, obviously this episode, you can watch on YouTube. If you're listening right now, if you're watching on YouTube and you want to listen again, you can do that too, on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to like, share, and subscribe and do all the things. And as a little bit of a teaser, not to get ahead of ourselves, I didn't ask you if we should say this or not, but I'm going to say it. I was going to say that you can edit it out, but we don't edit. So
we don't edit shit. I'm not doing that. Say what you got to say.
Part of what Jane and I are thinking about is how we create additional opportunities outside of the podcast to share some of this learning and share some of this expertise, et cetera. And so what we're putting together now is a series of workshops that we feel like would be really, really incredible opportunities for us to share with a variety of different audiences. It could be audiences of parents, audience of women in leadership, audiences of young women, especially all the different things. So as you think about all the episodes and all the things that we've talked about, if there's something in particular you think would be of high value for us to hone in a setting like that, we would love to hear from you. So in the notes of this episode is our email address. Send us a quick email and say, oh my God, you guys should design something around blank, right? And obviously, if you are in a space where you would like something of that, right? That's something that would be of value for you and your group. Let us know because we'd love to chat with you about it. That's just a little teaser because we're just now starting to do it. We're just now starting to design it. So we don't want to go crazy. But we're excited about it.
Yeah. No, it's going to be awesome. And, you know, and like Janice said, like anything that we've talked about, even just barely touched on, and you want to hear our opinion on it, or you heard something and we haven't talked about it and you want to know what our opinion is and you want us to do a show or a workshop or whatever, tell us. We're about it.
I hear it. Exactly. That's us being open to your input. You're welcome. There we go. All right, you guys. Thanks. You're the best. Peace out.
Bye.